Please be seated. Well, good evening. It's good to see you this night here and out before the sun sets,
yes.
Which is a good sign. One of the greatest tasks that we have, I think, is to teach this very important core element about the Christian life. Prayer. Prayer. How do we get us to pray? This is a tough one. You know, that's one of those spokes in the wheel that are so absolutely essential for us to understand what it means to pray. In our Testament, Old Testament reading this evening, we have Jesus coming into the temple. You know, the temple. And these money changers are in there spending money. They're selling oxen and they're selling pigeons and they're selling all kinds of things. It's a really a big money maker. Of course, we've always known that the scribes and the Pharisees probably had the biggest bank going in all the Middle East anyways. So that's why everybody was so jealous of them, because they're making all this money, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout the land. And they had a history of doing it for many, many centuries. But the point I think I'm trying to make tonight is this whole concept of what it means to pray. And how do we pray? Where do we begin? Well, the first thing I like to teach children, grade children, and I'm going to remind you, because I know you're all going to remember this, but you know, you begin with your hand. And what do we have in our hand? Most of us, if we haven't lost a finger or two, have five of them. Okay? And we close them. And the first three remind us of the Trinity. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the other two remind us of the nature and the divinity of Christ. You know, man and spiritual. He was divine. And so when we begin to pray, we have the continuity of the constancy of the faith in our hand. That means we begin rightly because we have a right belief. Hold our hands in, and we cross ourselves. You know, we do this. We begin with the right belief before our very eyes, in our hands, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Tremendous power, because this is what we believe. It sets our mind and focuses on what we believe. And so when we go to the altar to pray, we know we begin a right, because we have the faith here before us. The second ingredient to this whole thing is that generally most of our churches, at least in the West, face toward where?
East.
And where do they face? Towards that temple that these money changers are spending and making a lot of money. So think about the nature. We orientate our lives correctly, with right faith and belief, with right action and right orientation to what we believe in. The centrality of who we are, wrapped up in this complete, unbelievable, and great gift that has been given to us. So when we set apart and we dedicate our spaces, or we consecrate them, and we consecrate them when they're all paid for it, and you can take the deed and tear it up and bury it, we own it. When we dedicate the spaces, what we are saying is that all the sacraments of the church are going to be done in a great and holy way inside of this space. I remember a number of years ago when I was a Methodist, Lord knows. But anyway, I worked down there. I was Navy chaplain, and I worked down at the Marine Corps base in Camp Lejeune. And I was working in the Protestant chapel. And they had this most stunning icon on the wall, framed out 1566 by a guy named, I can't remember quite his name was, but it was an oil painting that was just stunning. Gorgeous. Here we had St. Michael and all angels slaying the dragon. up there on that wonderful oil painting, looked like a huge, beautiful icon. But you know what? The world wanted that picture. The Marine Corps wanted that picture. And it was dedicated and given to the Protestant congregation, not to the Marine Corps. But to this day, they're still fighting to get that painting hanging on that wall. The world wants what we have because for some particular reason, our icons, our pictures, the things that we find sacred and holy, make them feel holy too. But there may or may not be. They want to take it to a temple where people can see it and they can turn it into a dollar. A dollar. So why wouldn't the temple be turned into a place of money changers? Because it's a holy place. And you can make money on a holy place. But that's not what it's all about, is it? Jesus comes in and all of a sudden he says, you have made this place into a den of thieves, but my house must remain a place of prayer. Why? Because all of us who face that way know that in that temple, on the day that Jesus was hanging on the cross, the carpet there was rent in two, and grace was freely given. That all of us have access to the Holy of Holies. We orientate our lives with the right faith and right belief, and we face in the right direction with our lives going that way. Now, I don't know about you, getting people to pray this way is tough business. Do we have to say it always has to be that way? When we're sitting at a restaurant and you ask a blessing over your food, probably not. God honors your blessing. But rightly to worship him in the way that we are taught and given us to us from the historical past is so very much important and a part of our lives. If we do not sustain this and keep the sense of orientation about where we are supposed to be focused, then we're going to miss the mark. For surely the road is wide. Those who don't want to go, but those who find the right way, the road is narrow and the gate is too. And the gate to the Holy of Holies comes through heart of prayer. Where you find sincerity and right belief. If we do not hold and sustain the ground in which we have, the few of us, and the very few shattered churches that we have around the diocese, the world is going to lose the holy. The holy. We make us stand on holy ground. We are on holy ground. Remember what Moses, when he was up on the mountain, and the Lord says, take off thy shoes, for thou art on holy ground. When you come through here, do you know that once you're in this space, you are on holy ground? Set apart. For the blessings and the gifts that are given to you through those priests and history and the martyrs that have given their life that you might have. Each and every time we enter in here, we must remember the saints and the angels and everyone that have come to us, that we have for us given a way and a memory. I'll leave you with a story. Probably heard me say it before. It was shared by a moral theologian by the name of Albert Ellis, not Ellis, but sorry, Lord have mercy on me, I said his name. Can't remember. That'll come to me. Anyways, he shared a story that a woman had died and she had gone to hell. And she had been suffering down there for eons. For eons. And the angels heard her torment. And so they go to God and say, God, is there something you can do for this woman who's in great torment? And God thought about it for another eon. And sure enough, her torment became even greater. And finally, the angels got the heart of God in his ear And God says, I'll tell you what, she grew an onion. I want you to take that onion and you reach down there into the pit. And when she grabbed a hold of that onion, I want you to pull her out. So sure enough, the angels were ecstatic. Oh, extremely happy. Sure enough, the angels go and they reach down into the pit and the woman grabs a hold of the onion and they're pulling her out. Such a marvelous and wonderful opportunity. And as they were pulling her out, everyone else was down there was grabbing a hold of her. And they too were coming out with her. And the angels came so excited. And the onion was holding. And the woman looked down below and she saw all these people hanging on to her as far down as you could see. And the woman said, get away from me. Leave me alone. That's my onion. And it broke. Prayer has to do with the condition of the heart. She's praying, but is her heart right? Does she mean what she prays for? Is she sincere about it? Is she energized that what she is doing is not just about herself, but it is about the world that have never stepped foot on holy ground, nor understands the nature and the beauty and the character of what comes into a Christian when they know me. We are called to bring this message through every action we have, every word that we say, every prayer that we give. It's not about us. The temple is not about us. The temple is about God. And it is about bringing people rightly to God through our prayers and theirs. May each of us, as we find space, not only to sanctify our space, but to sanctify our time, and give it that we might save the world which is so desperately lost and seeking for so many holy things. May God add his blessings to these words and us to his service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.